Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Give it to me!
Hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
Happy almost new year, and welcome to It's a Thing, almost new decade.
Wow. Well, technically,
welcome.
If you think the decade starts next year, have fun next year with all of your other friends who think that. We're celebrating it now.
Yes, we are. I'm going to ask Tom to explain that later in his
Well, because technically zero is the last number in a decade, and it doesn't begin until one is the mathematical way. Because you didn't have a year zero, you had a year one.
Okay. And I mean, okay. So Tom is going to celebrate it in 1 year. And
no, I'm
like
celebrating
five
it right
days.
Now. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. Good. For over a decade, Tom and I have been having conversations just like
just
this.
Like that. Yes.
Which is what inspired us to have conversations unlike any of that on It's a Thing, the weekly podcast that you support and we love and have been doing for a full year, no matter how you count it. And this week we have a little something special.
Yeah, thanks to our producer, Rich Straffolino, for putting together the best of 2019. Have a walk down memory lane with us at all the great things that happened in 2019.
Enjoy.
Give it to me. Give it to me.
Oh, all right. I hear you. We will give it to you. After lo these many years, literally years, we are back. Hello, everyone. We're back. I'm Molly Wood.
And I'm Tom Merritt.
And welcome to the triumphant return of It's a Thing.
So many trends we've missed over the past 5 years.
And so many that haven't changed at all.
No,
over the
not
past
a bit.
5 years. Avocado toast is still a thing.
Selfie sticks.
Still a thing.
Still a thing.
Okay, well, my thing that I think is a thing is already a thing, but I'm just sort of realizing it. And so I'm curious about whether it's a thing for adults or just like people my son's age. But there is this this phenomenon, and it shouldn't be surprising considering how kids consume all entertainment, right? Like clearly they're not going to go for C-drama because it sounds too long for them. 47 minutes, 68 episodes. Everything they do is like in goldfish, you know, size chunks. But there's a sort of entire category of music now that kids are into that is just meme music. Like songs that are themselves a meme, like the Hey Now, you're a Rock Star song, which became a meme because of Shrek. Like there's this sort of this weird, ironic obsession with the Shrek movie that turned into an obsession with that Rockstar song and that they then talk about all the time and sing. And then there are compilations of songs that are just meme music. And so my son will cycle through these little teeny short chunks. There it is. Meme music. Some kid right now is like, oh my God, that's like a Fortnite song.
I was so excited to see Cardi B in here because Justin Robert Young and I have been having an ongoing appreciation for her and her truth telling. I don't necessarily agree with her on every single thing any more than I agree with any other human being on every single thing. So, you know, I'm not trying to say like, oh, she can't do any wrong. But I love that she is way more interesting than you think.
So
and she's fine with that.
Much more interesting. Like she is a savant. Like you just are. I'm listening to her speak, and I'm like, wait a second. This is a damn genius. What if Cardi B is secretly a damn genius, and then it's not very secret at all?
She can name all the U.S. presidents in order.
I know. I love her obsession, but she is equally obsessed with the fact that she thinks her tongue is way too big for her mouth.
Right. Mm-hmm. Both of those things.
And on her, both of those things are amazing and apparently true. And then there's this like
there's this incredible back to back of Instagram where she one day she's doing a shoot for Dolce & Gabbana, and then the next photo on her Instagram is her in her pants with the or her in her car with the pants down because she's like, they're too tight and I need to air out my business, except way more in a Cardi B way. But sure. I can only say the P word one time for a podcast, and I'm shocked that you spent
your allowance. Yeah,
as Jenny points out, possibly a higher intelligence from outer space. What if Cardi B is first contact?
What if? It's the only thing that explains it.
I mean, it kind of is.
She was getting resupplied by Oumuamua.
Oh, amazing. Oumuamua was a resupply ship for Cardi B.
Give it to me!
It started as a joke when we were driving from the airport to the Airbnb that we had. Mm-hmm. And I noticed, I don't know, half a dozen silver Jeeps on the road. And I turned to my wife, Eileen, and I was just like, did you see all these silver Jeeps? Like, remember, like is that the new thing? And I say remember because Eileen is the one who said, she's like, remember when we've been here before, it was Mustangs. And,
right.
And so it must have changed from Mustangs to silver Jeeps. So the whole week, I decided to start saying silver Jeep every time I saw a silver Jeep. Thinking like it probably won't be that much. I probably just, you know, I saw a lot of them at once. Ran. No, man, every drive, multiple silver Jeeps, sometimes two in a row. Like they were everywhere. And so I started to take photos midway through my vacation of parked silver Jeeps when I was walking around.
Okay. And so so many things are hilarious about this. One is that I try to go to Hawaii around the same time, this time of year, every year. I have it like a tradition with a girlfriend because it's whale season in Maui. Mm-hmm. And so we really like to go and see the whales. And it's a whole thing.
Saw some whales. It was good.
And we love the Jeep. Like, we always rent a Jeep. And that's a thing for us, is always to get the Jeep and get the silver Jeep and do the upgrade and figure out the best way to do the upgrade. Like, is it better to book an SUV and upgrade from that? Or, you know, and it is a whole conversation every time. And I have had two occasions on which I, you know, rented a Jeep, took the top off, then got stuck in the rain, couldn't get the top back on. Mm. Like, the Jeep is a whole hilariously gigantic part of my Hawaii experience every year, year after year. So much so that I've been like, should I buy one back here? All of that. And this year I was like, and again, Tom and I were there. I was there a week before him.
Mm-hmm.
And this year during that trip, I was looking around thinking, I don't think we can get this Jeep again. This is like embarrassing. Every car is a Jeep.
And you're right. It's not like I hadn't seen Jeeps before. If you're on Maui, a lot of people want to take the road to Hana. That's a rough road. So a lot of people want Jeeps, you know, so that they can get through some of the rougher parts easier.
Yeah.
But it was just ridiculous how many, and silver particularly. I saw white Jeeps. I saw black Jeeps. I saw red Jeeps. But silver seemed to be the predominant color.
It is the silver one. I mean, it's completely true. And I was like, okay. It's not like I didn't know that this Jeep marked us as tourist girls for sure, but it is now so lousy with Jeeps that I really did think to myself, like, I think next time we should just get something else because there's too many of them. And it's true. The Mustang has dwindled to almost nothing in the Hawaii rental car situation. And the Jeep I will say at least I had a red one. But I don't think that's any better.
Yeah, I'd say black seemed to be, you know, in my informal survey, black seemed to be the second most popular color, like right in there with white. And red was kind of the more unusual one. So you at least in the Jeep spectrum were on the rarer end
from what
I was looking at.
Oh,
you know, I wonder. I know there's a whiskey sommelier. And the reason I know that is it is created by the Wizard Academy in Austin. And I got to see their little whiskey closet when I was there, which is pretty freaking amazing.
There totally is. I looked it up.
Oh, they're cool.
It's a beer sommelier, also called a Cicerone. C-I-C-E-R-O-N-E.
I believe that's Cicerone. Cicerone. How the ancient Greeks would say. No, I don't know.
Just, I knew it. Anyway, I think that feels like the next step in the like, I don't know, order whatever beer you want. Like, don't worry, our Cicerone will come.
Could I speak to the Cicerone, please?
Could I speak to the Cicerone? I will give you $100 in crisp $2 bills if we can go to a bar together, and you will do that.
I'm gonna make a call. I may be totally wrong, but I think cider is about to break through into the mainstream.
Yes. I mean, I agree with you. And I feel like we even had a somewhat more recent conversation about how we thought it should be a thing by now. Mm-hmm. But you know what? I think you are totally right, because I have seen, in fact, just recently at St. Patrick's Day, I bought cider to take to dinner. And I was like, huh, there are like 11 different kinds of cider in my corner store.
Yes. And there's a few signals here. First of all, Stella Artois cider has become prevalent. So when you get like a major brand out there pushing its cider, that's a sign, right? Because the major brands aren't going to waste their time on that.
Right.
So I see that in the grocery stores. I see it advertised now. On menus, a lot of places that wouldn't otherwise have a cider have Stella Artois cider, spelled C-I-D-R-E, because it's Stella Artois. The other one is differentiation of flavors. So instead of like two apple ciders, there's like, oh, we also have a pineapple cider. And, you know, I don't know what the other ones are, but I've seen other ones.
Right. Now I've seen other kinds of fruit. Yeah. And I actually saw a rosé cider, which I thought was
weird. That was one of them that I saw. Yeah.
I kind of want to try it. What do you think that's about? Just like a sparkling rosé type thing, but it was called a cider, so I guess it's made.
I'll be honest, it's probably just apple cider with pink food coloring. Is what I thought when I saw it. But here's the clincher. Here's the canary in the cider orchard. Veronica Belmont was having a cider on Sword and Laser earlier this week when we recorded.
Oh, and she is, of course, the noted, like, coolster.
She's kind of, yeah.
She's kind of the coolster, yeah.
Not pretentious, just always in yeah. on top, yeah. right? I asked her, like, why a cider? She's like, oh, I don't know, you know, it's a blah, 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 blah. She had her reasons, but none of those reasons were because it's cool. It was more like just the natural outgrowth of events. And I said, on Sword and Laser this week, I'm like, that's my thing now. Because nice. You were drinking that cider.
Because you were drinking that cider. Yeah, and I'm now thinking back, and I've seen the cans a bunch. There are those, like, really cool-looking cans where you can just buy, like, one can of cider. And actually, my friend and I went to the drive-in movie and had, like, cider. And as I am doing my real-time DuckDuckGo, it appears to be that rosé cider in particular is becoming a bigger thing. I just put a link in the Discord, about it.
The year of rosé cider is upon us.
It's upon us, which just means that cider has finally hit.
Also, they're showing an apple that's colored red as the default picture, which that's probably fake. But
I will say that is hysterical, that like cider finally has arrived, which I think is true, but then literally ran right into the buzzsaw that is our collective obsession with rosé. And then became this unholy alliance. That's hilarious. Give it to me.
We're going to give you the end so you can enjoy the journey. Is that Molly and I realized right before the show that we had both picked the same thing
for
today's show.
Same thing. And we only had a thing because we are actually, our original plan, which we are still going to execute in some form, was, wow, we have been getting so much incredible feedback, like on Twitter and in email and on the Patreon page, patreon.com/itsathing, should you want to join in the fun, that we should just do a show about your things, like just make it the feedback thing show.
Yeah.
So that was a plan.
Yeah.
And then Tom said,
that's my cue.
And then Tom said,
I said, hey, I only have one thing today, forgetting that we actually really didn't even need a thing. But I can do it in the pre-show if you want.
And I was like, well, I could actually rustle up a thing that I've been noticing was a thing. And then all of a sudden today exploded into a super duper thing. Maybe so much of a thing that it's like beyond being a thing. And then I told Tom what it was, and then Tom said, that's my thing.
So a couple weeks ago, I was listening to the Apple Music Today's Hits playlist.
Okay.
Which I do from time to time, like when I'm just getting ready in the morning or I'm making lunch or something. I'm just like, I just want to have some music on, play Today's Hits. And a couple weeks ago, the song Old Town Road by Lil Nas X showed up on the playlist.
So great.
And I was like, wow, this is interesting. Mm-hmm. This is different. It's got a kind of a country vibe. I'm into this. It caught my ear. And so this morning it showed up again on that playlist. And I started thinking, well, you know what? This could be a thing. This idea of like a countrified hip hop song. Mm-hmm. And then as I'm reading minutes later, my feeds to get ready for today's Daily Tech News show, I see an article in Variety that the song I had been listening to, which I had sadly stopped before I got to that point in it, was in fact a remix of Old Town Road that included Billy Ray Cyrus.
Mm-hmm.
Because Old Town Road had been kicked off the Billboard country charts because people were complaining it shouldn't qualify as country and hip hop. And Billy Ray Cyrus said, well, that's silly. Waylon Jennings once told me that if you do something original, they'll try to make you an outlaw. So I'm going to team up and do this collaboration with Lil Nas X on Old Town Road.
He did a collab. And meanwhile, in Oakland... Meanwhile, back in Oakland, this song is on nonstop repeat on my son's phone, in his AirPods, in the car. He and his friends are singing it to each other all the time. The song, Old Town Road, has become a full-blown meme song, which you may recall us discussing as a thing in an earlier episode of the during the relaunch period. And so I'm like, oh my God, this song is totally a thing. It's a complete meme song, and it hits on the thing that we talked about with meme songs, which is that a sub branch of that thing is country, and how they're like, yeah,
because it was the John Denver thing when we talked about it originally.
Yeah, and they all and a bunch of different country songs, and so that they're like, there's this weird kind of fascination in meme culture with country music, and so then this was like a double thing. By being like a meme song that was also playing off of the kind of weird obsession that everybody has with country music. So then all of that happens. And then, like Tom said, it gets kicked off the country music Billboard charts. And then today I see Billy Ray Cyrus trending and I see the words Old Town Road. And I'm like, you have got to be kidding me. Like, this may be even too much of a thing. But apparently it is such, as we discussed, such an overarching meta thing that it became... For the first time that I can identify the thing.
P-Milk!
Oh, yeah. P-Milk. P-Milk is definitely a thing.
It is?
Oh, yeah. No way. Sarah Lane has talked about it on Good Day Internet several times.
Seriously?
Mm-hmm.
There's really P-Milk?
Oh, yeah.
Also, I just kind of can't stop saying P-Milk.
P-Milk.
All right. I'm looking up oat milk, and I'm hitting the news tab. And, oh, yeah. Is oat milk healthier than other plant-based milks? Dietitians weigh in on MSN News. Dairy versus non-dairy. What's best for you? Wow. Four great.
I feel like
new...
I just missed the oat milk train and I'm already on the pea milk train. I'm not drinking either one of them. I just mean in knowing about them.
Okay. So Forbes reports that there's good hemp barista seed milk. So hemp milk. Apparently. This
Amor
is fascinating.
Berkeley,
how did we miss this?
Has never been written.
This is a huge thing. Apparently.
I thought we talked about pea milk before, but maybe I'm just remembering.
I have never said the words pea milk until today.
It's pretty hilarious.
And the more I say it, the worse it gets. Lynn, this is amazing. I have learned so much from your email. This is freaking awesome.
I got to check out some oat milk now. Can you make oatmeal with your oat milk
for double
protection?
I knew you were going to go there. Actually.
Will it double protect your heart? Market Research Gazette says pea milk market is set for a potential growth worldwide. Excellent technology trends with business analysis. This must have been written by a robot. That's what I got when I searched for pea milk.
Dear everyone listening to our show right now, if you have ever consumed or even encountered pea milk in the wild, please email us immediately at feedback@itsathing.me. We will also accept photographs and
this is urgent.
And audio recordings of your pea milk taste test. For those of you who have suggested that I would have encountered pea milk if I had left the basement, you may be right.
You may be right. There's nothing to say you're not right.
Wowzer. Wow. Mm-hmm.
I am unfamiliar with the Lizzo.
Oh my God. Okay. So Lizzo is a rapper, like a rap artist, and she's very poppy and delightful. And she's this big, 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 big black woman. She is phenomenal. And she, her whole deal. And I actually saw her. I was lucky enough to see her 2 years ago at South by Southwest at the like NPR One music concert. And she was filling in for somebody and she came out and it was just phenomenal. She was like in spandex and she's probably like a, you know, she's like a size 24 or something. Like she's a big girl and she is super, super, super body positive and just super positive in general, which, and I'll get to why I think that's part of why she's a huge thing right now. But like, she came out in this spandex and she had these two little skinny dancers. And I mean, it was like the kind of show where your mouth hangs open the whole time. Like she's so incredible. And mesmerizing and charismatic and awesome that I've remembered her ever since and loved her. And now all of a sudden, like she's definitely starting to have a moment and she's really coming into her own and she's becoming a lot more popular. But part of the reason is because she's so positive. And so there was this great article about her actually just in March in Allure that I found when I was researching the show that said like she's not part of a movement, she is her own movement. And it's, you know, but it's like there have been a lot of people who come along and they talk about like being awesome and accepting yourself as you are and whatever, but there is something about Lizzo that makes it work. And I have had like three young women talk to me about Lizzo recently, and I've had all these feelings. Like the song that I'm super into right now is called Like a Girl. Like if you throw like a girl you can run the whole damn world, that kind of thing.
Okay.
But, and I was say, I was talking to this young woman and I was saying like, oh yeah, this friend of mine like really loves to talk about how she thinks Prince Charming is going to come. And automatically, like without even thinking, this woman that I work with goes, there's no Prince Charming. You are your own Prince Charming.
Mm-hmm.
And then she goes, I'm sorry, I've been listening to a lot of Lizzo lately. And she was like, instead of going to therapy, I just listen to Lizzo.
Give it to me.
Matthew said, I'd like to suggest a nascent thing, a thing that may be moving from being a tiny isolated subculture to being something at least on the fringes of the zeitgeist. And that thing is Mongolian metal. Heavy what? Metal music with folk elements and instrumentation has been around for a while, e.g. Finntroll, a Finnish metal band whose songs tend to be built around polkas. But it's Mongolian metal, complete with Mongolian throat singing,
oh my God. That
seems to be making some inroads. The Who, H-U, The Who, seem to be the breakthrough band. See NPR.org for more. They had a whole story about them. But other groups like Nine Treasures and Tengger Cavalry are also out there. Metal is not a genre I know much about, but I find this particular branch of it fascinating and generally very joyful and fun to listen to, and hope that it really is on its way to being a thing.
Oh my gravy. This is like the single coolest email I think we've ever gotten.
It is quite certain to be among those. Yes,
I'm just
absolutely
gonna angle to get invited to a dinner party anytime soon so that I can just start like dropping bombs about Mongolian metal. Oh, do you not know? It's a thing. Not familiar with The Who?
Yes.
Seems to be an instrument. It's so good.
Oh, I love it. Oh my God, the throat singing.
Yeah.
With the crazy, like.
Wolf Totem by The Who. Yeah, you definitely need to be going to a party and say, oh, I'm so into The Who. And they're like, oh, you know, what like Tommy? Or, and you're like, oh, no, I mean Mongolian metal.
I'm talking about Mongolian metal.
Hate you.
Aren't you? Amazing.
And you spell it S-K-S-K-S-K-S-K.
Exactly. And you pronounce it actually. Actually, the children in our lives would tell us that it's not just, there's a vocalization that goes along with it. It's not just kss-kss-kss. It's more like kss-kss-kss-kss-kss.
Oh, there's a little huh.
There can be a little huh, or there can be like kss-kss-kss-kss-kss, or none whatsoever. But yeah,
it's like tsk-tsk-tsk. It's a variation on that in meaning, right?
Yeah, except that the kids who are using it have never heard tsk-tsk-tsk, I
right,
think, probably.
Because that, you know, predates both of us.
Yeah. Exactly. But it's so... Okay, I saw this in the rundown, and I got so excited because yes, it has been a part of my life in the what the kids are up to way as a meme. But remember when I told you that my son thinks that once it shows up on Know Your Meme, it's over?
Oh, yeah. Right.
It's like, it's basically over. Like, he's not using it anymore. For a while, it was so irritating. Like, he was using it constantly. And I was like,
oh, really? Okay.
Get away. Like, if you come at me again with that thing, I am going to send you to your room.
And now that I put it in the rundown, yeah. Prior to that, not cause and effect, but prior to that, he had stopped using it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
And now I'm seeing it in the rundown. I'm like, oh, perfect. Which means it has reached critical mass.
Right.
Meaning it's a thing.
Yeah.
And 12-year-olds have moved on.
Certified thing.
I'm apparently the world's oldest VSCO girl. That's my thing. That's my second thing.
VSCO girl.
VSCO girl.
Do tell.
Okay. And this, by the way, is also one of those things you are now going to start seeing everywhere, like a BuzzFeed quiz. How much of a VSCO girl are you? And, oh my God, these kids make me feel like such a VSCO girl. So, apparently, there is a photo editing app called VSCO. VSCO. Okay. Like, all caps. And it creates, I mean, what's cracking me up about this and what a big deal it is that it basically appears to create Instagram filters, but it's a filters with a specific style, right? That style is very contrasty and cozy, and okay. It's the kind of thing that goes along with like string lights and a comfy bedroom and like big fluffy pillows. But it's pretty generic, right? It's sort of like generically cute, like the Crate and Barrel of photo filters. And now, somehow, it's been translated into this idea that it's an aesthetic that is attached to like what sort of used to be almost like a basic girl. So like if in the old days, like 2 years ago, basic was like Uggs and a Starbucks cup.
Uh-huh.
Now there's this whole VSCO girl look that's like scrunchies, a hydro flask. you take Instagram pictures of your meals. You wear Vans right. shoes, and then you have Polaroid cameras because you want that kind of like Polaroid look for your life. And then there's like a whole apparently series of brands that are attached to VSCO girl. But what's so interesting is I've seen them all come up with my child, like Carmex. For a while, they were all into Carmex. And then they're doing choker necklaces, and they all want to wear a bunch of rings and friendship bracelets. So it's weirdly like the VSCO girl's kind of like upscale 80s.
The ripped jean thing.
Ripped jeans, absolutely. Vans, mm-hmm. Orc heads. Like, YouTubers have apparently been posting videos like called Becoming the Ultimate VSCO Girl.
Because that's a goal.
Because that's a goal. Well, of course it is, right? If you're a teenage girl, this is all you want. And so then it's like, yeah. VSCO Summer, it's like your Hydro Flask with stickers on it. That stupid Sun Bum lotion, which, by the way, sub thing. That Sun Bum sunscreen is a thing, and it is an expensive thing. And I have yet to be convinced that it's worth it. White Birkenstocks, wearing those right now. Boom, nailed it. Acai bowls, puka shells. Like, I've been this girl.
What does VSCO stand for?
I don't know. It's just the name of the app.
Very VSCO sharp app. Contrast.
Yeah. No clue. Hold on. I'll look that up real quick.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
Nope. I know. It's a photo company. Download VSCO, start creating, and join a global community of identical-looking creators. Something
a long time ago that has nothing to do with what it is now.
It probably did. And so, like, I kind of want to get the filter app. I'm a little confused about that. You know, I'm sort of vaguely interested in that. But what I find so interesting about it is that, like, unlike Instagram, which spawned a look,
right?
This is like a look with a name. Like, it's created a generation.
Well, if it's 6:30 in your mind, you should get yourself a metal banded drinking glass
to have a cocktail in
your Friday evening cocktail. Yeah. This is my first thing because I've noticed this now everywhere, and I'm wondering if it's a collating thing. The metal banded drinking glass was in Mad Men years ago, right? Don Draper in his office had those like cool glass bowl style glasses that he poured his whiskey in, and they had a metal band at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And you may recall that I bought some of those and I had them in my office
in
the 2000s.
They were amazing.
Yeah. So then they kind of, like, once Mad Men went away, that kind of ended. But I have noticed on multiple shows, For All Mankind and The Crown come to mind top, but not just those. People very clearly on camera drinking metal banded glass drinks.
Huh. Interesting. I wonder what style do you think they are? Are they mid-century? I guess, well, if you bought them. The Madman style.
Both For All Mankind and The Crown are taking place in roughly the same time period. For All Mankind is in an alternate universe, of course, but they're roughly like late 60s, early 70s.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think that's part of it. But then, you know, we've talked about how the 70s are kind of coming back.
Creeping back, yeah.
And so I think, even though these are period pieces, sort of the prominence of these glasses, which those weren't the only glass. They could have had other glasses. Set designer could have made some other choice, right? Fiesta wear, who knows what else. I feel like that's something to keep an eye on. That's a thing in waiting.
All right. That's it for us in 2019. We will see you back here in 2020. And thank you. Honestly, like, from the bottom of our hearts, you know, New Year's is like a time to look back and reflect and whatever, and look at the good things. You guys kept the show going for an entire year. And we were so grateful because we have had so much fun every week doing the show, hanging out with our, like, most loyal listeners in the Discord. We couldn't do it without you. So thanks for supporting us.
We seriously wouldn't probably be doing it without you.
We wouldn't, if we're being honest.
We would want to, but you provide that little extra motivation to make sure we do. And we thank you for that because we love doing this.
Yep. That motivation, by the way, is $1. Patreon.com/itsathing is where you can become a member of the show. Join the Discord, get an ad-free RSS feed, and also, frankly, keep our butts in the chair.
Email us your New Year's things. feedback@itsathing.me.
Happy New Year! Happy New Year! We will talk to you again in 2020. Give it to me! Give it to me! Hey! Hey!
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.